This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
This is Retire Right Radio, a weekly show from John Burdett at 4th Avenue Financial that aims to answer your questions about financial planning, investing, and how to retire right. 4th Avenue Financial is located in downtown Charleston at 170 Court Street. More information online at 4thAvenueFinancial.com. Join the conversation by calling 304-345-5858 or text 304-935-5008. On Retire Right Radio, let's go live to the studio with host Dale Cooper and John Burdett from 4th Avenue Financial.
And a very pleasant good Monday morning to you. You're listening to Retire Right Radio on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. I'm Dale Cooper. In studio with me this morning is John Burdett from 4th Avenue Financial. Happy Father's Day, John. How you doing this morning?
Hey, great. Same to you.
It was a nice weekend, man. It was nice having shaving a little bit off the top of the temperatures going into the weekend. That was nice because, boy, it was hot on Wednesday and Thursday especially.
No doubt. It was perfect weekend.
So we had a nice weekend, a nice Father's Day, a little bit of a layoff week to start with. We had, of course, going into the holiday weekend and not a great Friday as far as the market goes there. And then, of course, now we have holidays, so we can take a break and not have to worry about what the market's going to do today anyway.
The market will not go down today.
And that's one way to keep it from happening, I suppose, is you just don't open the thing up. Russia knows a little bit something about that. They went, like 6 weeks without opening up their market or something like that. You're listening to Retire Right Radio. You can give us a call this morning if you have any questions about how you can retire right. You have questions about in this time of uncertainty, it's a good time to make sure that you're shipshape. And maybe you've been your own steward all this time, and now it's time you need to get a professional involved, or you're looking to get into it, or you just have some questions that maybe John can help you with. You can give us a call this morning, 304-345-5858, 304-5858. You can text over questions to 304-935-5008, 304-935-5008. We'll get one to those as we go along today. You can find out more information online. It's 4thAvenueFinancial.com. You spell it all out, 4thAvenueFinancial.com, and do the same thing on Facebook. You can like the page by searching for that string there. So we have to do what we always do. We'll take a look back at the previous week, and there is just no starting stopping the fall, it looks like. I mean, you have a little bit of a day where you have some gains and you're like, okay, well, maybe, you know, you're getting a little bounce going on here or something. And it just, the next day, it just goes down again.
Yes, we are now firmly in bear market territory. The markets were down about 5%. It looked like midweek when the Fed came in and hiked the rates by 75 basis points, which is the biggest rate hike in 28 years, I believe. The market actually rallied on that news, and everybody thought, well, you know, maybe we're out of the woods. But nope. Thursday comes around and gives it back and more. And then we limped out into the weekend.
Now, I don't really know where any of this is going to play out, obviously. I mean, that's the big, you know, one of the reasons there's uncertainty is because there's a lot of uncertainty, of what's going on. But, you know, I listen to a good portion of different types of podcasts, read all kinds of different types of news, and I try to stay well-rounded on stuff. But, man, indicators everywhere are just, I mean, it's strange because there's a couple of things you'll run into that's like, oh, that's unusually strong. Is that? But then you just have things like rent. You know, it's like, how is rent up like 100% in a year? I mean, how is that even tenable? How is it possible? How can people even stay in their apartments if you're seeing an increase of rent of 30, 40, 50, 60, 100% year over year? That's horrible.
Those numbers, a lot of those are in major cities, and, you know, certainly here in Charleston, we haven't seen that. I mean, it's certainly gone up, but you know, you get Austin and some of those cities in Florida and you know, Nashville, and those places have really shot through the roof during this period of time. And I guess some of it's supply and demand, and I guess the market's some way able to bear it, or it wouldn't exist.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's stark. And I know that we've seen this before in some way, shape, or form. I mean, maybe not the numbers aren't exactly the same, but as far as this type of economic situation, it's just you know, it's difficult to look at, you know, in real time. But that it really just goes into showing the types of services that you offer and just how valuable those can be. Because, and we've mentioned that on this show before, but it's absolutely true. It was sort of like shooting fish in a barrel these last several years when it comes to the market and playing around with your retirement stuff. I mean, maybe somebody who wasn't an expert could have done better, but some people did their own thing and they've been doing okay with it because it's been fairly easy. You know, it's not that hard.
I think it was a Warren Buffett quote, but it goes something like, when the tide goes out, you find out who's not wearing any shorts.
Oh, there you go. Right.
So that's what these type of market events tend to do. You know, it exposes flaws in your planning and your portfolio, and it can be a time to reassess things and get on the right track.
One of the things that I've been hearing debated about a little bit this weekend, and I remember when this happened, and I think we talked about it a little bit. There was a point in time during the pandemic when it was really peaking, where the feds were like actually investing into the market, where you actually go in and you buy these securitized portfolios and different things along those lines. That stopped too, you know, that's part of what causes the market instability and stuff is when those things start getting phased out as well.
Right. There are a lot of moving parts right now that the Fed is trying to do to slow basically shrink the money supply or try to take money out of the system to try to tamp down inflation. And the big question is, what will happen to the real economy? Will we see a slowdown that will more normalize the inflation rate and the spending habits and those type of things? Or will we see it be pushed over into an actual recession where we see actually some declining, not just slower growth numbers, but actually declining GDP numbers and you know, that remains to be seen. Certainly the market is not very optimistic that the Fed was going to achieve the soft landing.
Right. And GDP is looking pretty scary, I know, too, that it could
be.
But
when you think about bear markets like we're now in, they're not abnormal. I mean, about once every 5 years is kind of the timeline that you have something like this. Certainly it's with the exception of the real deep dive at the beginning of COVID, it's been a while since we've had anything prolonged like this. The COVID decline was, it kind of came and went before anybody actually had time to process what was going on.
Right.
This has been a 6-month slog where it just seems like week after week after week, it's grinding lower and lower and lower. And that's a typical, you know, bear market that you experience. And, the bear market in general, I mean, it could last up to a year before it kind of hits bottom. And
when's the last time that we experienced an official bear market?
Well, COVID was a bear market. But
it was fairly short, though, right?
But I think before that, I think you have to go back to 2008.
Okay,
it's quite a while that, you know, we've had plenty of corrections where the market has teased the, you know, 15, 20% down during that period of time, but it always kind of recovers quickly. And this is obviously it's a more protracted process that we're in right now. People are adjusting their growth expectations and pricing that in and trying to figure out what is a fair price to pay. And then there's also I don't feel like it's quite panic yet, but there are certainly people kind of throwing in the towel. And when that happens, you start to see things priced in a way that might not be accurate.
Interesting.
People start selling. Well, when you think about it, if you're a big fund manager, things of that nature, and people are redeeming their investments, you have to sell something. And
right.
When you sell something, what do you sell? A lot of times you sell the big liquid things first because it's easier to get a decent price for and easier to move large volumes. So some of the companies that get sold off might not actually be the worst companies in the bunch. It might just be the largest, most liquid companies that folks can raise capital quickly.
Going to have a long conversation here this morning, an interesting conversation that might help you out a little bit. Hitting back against inflation is going to be our topic this morning. You're welcome to give us a call this morning if you have any questions at all at 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. It's difficult when you're in, you know, I mean, we're talking about how you retire, right? And so what you do is basically what happens with the economy and the market is the backdrop of what you work against, but your job doesn't change regardless. So what you do is always pretty much the same in trying to find the best path for one of your clients.
That's correct. And you never know when these type of events are actually going to happen. You know, bear markets and economic downturns are predicted way more often than they actually happen.
Yeah, true.
You know, nobody knows the exact timing of these things. So, because you can't know the exact timing of these things when you're building your financial plan, you have to assume that you will experience these things on a regular basis and make provisions for that within the plan. And that's really what planning is about, just saying, what are the circumstances that we could face, and is my portfolio up to the test?
You know, one of the things that it's pretty crazy when you talk about some of these social media algorithms and things like that, the TikTok algorithm that a lot of people talk about, not really my demo as far as creating, but there's a lot of content on there, and it's one of the places that I'll waste some time. And although I don't interact with it that much, I do get like financial things that we talk about surfaced. I mean, however they generate their algorithms to surface things that interest you. But I saw this video this weekend, or two videos, and what you're talking about as far as like fear, and the thing about TikTok that's great is you have definitely not experts and people that have a lot of influence that probably shouldn't.
Absolutely.
And so, but what you see is a lot of what fairly uneducated people in certain sectors think. Yeah, I mean, and that's honestly the truth. You know, you get people that are like self-taught in some areas, and then they have a lot of influence, and then they come on with like their 5-minute, get rich quick scheme, or this is what. And if you have a little bit of knowledge in the area, you're like, man, this person absolutely knows nothing. You know?
Right.
But it was interesting as I was seeing some people in like the financial TikToks or whatever this weekend, like talking about selling out, like time to get out of the market. We tried this for a while. Let's go. Where are you going?
Right.
What you're going to do what with it? Like put it in your mattress? Put it in crypto? I mean, exactly where are you going with these funds?
I actually saw a one of those videos, and the guy was talking about how he sold everything out. He was laying by his pool in a lounge chair with a shades and a hat on.
How's that cash treating you, brother?
And he said, you know, I'll get in at the right time. Like he's the guy that knows.
Oh,
just follow him
uh-huh.
for the right time. You know,
getting out on the low, was that? Does that make him a soothsayer? Because it seems like if he was all that, he would have got out a long time ago.
Who knows? But yes, you definitely see that, and you definitely see in these type of events, you know, people, their opinions are everywhere, and there again, a lot of that is the stuff you need to block out if you're working on this long-term financial plan. You know, do I know when the market's going to bottom? Absolutely not. Do I know that it will bottom at some point? Absolutely. Do I know that it will recover and reach higher highs at some point in the future? Absolutely. That's undeniably the history of the market and how things work if you understand, you know, the mechanics that goes behind it. You know, we're down 22, 23, 25% depending on the index. If you look at the average bear market, you know, you're down in the low 30s% sometimes. So could there be more downside? There could be. But might it be over today? You know, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that. And you can't make major portfolio swings based on a hunch, basically. And so your financial plan has to be a sound plan that you stick with over time. And it has to be resilient to these things by matching up what your short-term needs and your long-term needs are and then treating them as such. That's the only way I know that you can deal with these things over the course of retirement. You know, you're going to have 5 of these type of episodes in an average retirement if you were retiring today in your retirement about every 5 years. You know, if you have a 25-year retirement, that's 5 times you're going to experience this. Are you going to blow your portfolio up and change it every single time this happens? And No. What kind of a retirement would that be?
Yeah, right. Great information, as always, from John Burdett from 4th Avenue Financial. If you're one of the many number of people out there without financial advisors helping you out to how to get your retirement right, we're in the time period now where you might need a little bit of help. 304-345-5858, 345-5858. If you have individual questions, or if you're looking for someone to take a look at your situation, of course, John can do that, not necessarily on the air, but you can get a hold of 4th Avenue Financial, and they could take a totally free 15-minute look at what's going on in your life and see if they can help you out. You can get a hold of us this morning at 304-345-5858. You can also find out more about 4th Avenue Financial online. It's 4thAvenueFinancial.com. That's 4thAvenueFinancial.com, and also do that search on Facebook, and that will get you to all of the relevant information. I brought that up about the TikTok influencers a moment ago because whereas a lot of these folks are like, time to get out, I tried it and didn't work, you know, whatever. Your advice is, number one, when fighting back against inflation, buy more stocks. Get more where you can. And there's a sound strategy to that, of course.
Absolutely. Well, over time, when you think about inflation, what is inflation? Well, the prices of our goods and services are going up. Who produces the goods and services?
Oh, goodness.
The companies. The companies out there that are trading on the market. Now, it's certainly it's not hand-in-hand, obviously. Inflation is high and stocks are down. But over time, stocks as an asset class historically have kept up with inflation. And that makes logical sense when you think they're the ones that are producing the goods and services. You know, think about lots of different companies. What if you owned a hotel right now or had a company that owned hotels? You built those hotels with yesterday's dollars and yesterday's interest rates.
Right.
What are happening to hotel rates right now? They're going up, up, and away.
Right, right.
Is that not more profitable? Of course it would be more profitable in that scenario. Same thing with a factory. You know, you bought and built a factory and bought the equipment, and you did that with yesterday's dollars and yesterday's interest rates that you locked in on some sort of a bond issue if you were a company. And the widgets you're producing today are worth more in the marketplace because of inflation.
That's a great point, right?
So over time, it makes sense that stocks would keep up with inflation. Like I say, in periods like this, particularly periods where certain rational thinking might get thrown out and fear takes over, you're not going to see that marching together hand in hand. But over time, it certainly does, for good reason.
That's about as simple as you can put it, and it makes so much sense because, I mean, obviously when you think about it and you take just a moment to maybe set the names aside and just think about it logically, it makes perfect logical sense. You know, I mean, if you take everybody's motivated reasoning out of something one way or the other and you just look at the bottom line, yeah, you know, the companies producing the stuff or the companies, you know, that just makes sense. I mean, it really does. And
well, so you can even take that to the real estate market. A lot of people are complaining that real estate is high right now, and you can't buy anything, you can't afford anything, or if you're an investor, you can't find something to buy that would provide a good return at these prices for rental. Well, what happens if you bought the property 5 years ago?
Right.
You know, you're
you should be okay.
You're very profitable
right
now,
yeah,
because your rents have gone up and your costs are fixed. That's the same example on a smaller scale that we're talking about with these companies. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But when you have these market declines, everything goes down.
Yeah.
Everything goes down because people are just fleeing the perceived risk of the market.
Taking a look at the article about how to hit back against inflation, you can find that on our social medias at 580WCHS on Facebook and on Twitter. Reading along here, after investing more stocks, do research about I-bonds and TIPS. Explain that a little bit to us.
Yeah, well, we've had a few phone calls about the about the I-bonds. You buy them from Treasury Direct. But and the same thing with TIPS. They are Treasury-issued securities that index for inflation. So it's added to your principal with a TIP. You get an interest rate, which is typically fairly low, and then the Treasury looks at the inflation rate and adds that inflation rate to the principal of the bond as an additional return. So in periods of high inflation, that can be a place to, you know, you're not going to grow your money like you might over time in a stock where you're vastly outperforming the inflation rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think about a stock over time, they keep up with inflation for the for the reasons we just talked about, and you can actually get a real return over the rate of inflation over time in the stock market historically. These type of bonds, you're not going to do that, but you're going to keep up with inflation. You're going to be basically treading water in a higher burst of inflation. Not the place you want to be long term if you're looking for to build real wealth over time, but certainly in a period like this, people are looking at them and considering them as an option.
And that's something that, your strategies can be multifaceted, and you have different bulwarks and backstops to these things. And again, that's something that only an expert can help you out with. You can give us a call this morning at 304-345-5858, 345-5858. You can find out more about Fourth Avenue Financial online. The website address is fourthavenuefinancial.com. That's fourthavenuefinancial.com. You can also do that same search on Facebook, like the page. John occasionally will have some online seminars and continuing education that you can sign up for, and also you can make an appointment to have that look into your financial portfolio by going over to fourthavenuefinancial.com or on Facebook that has it integrated there. Fourth Avenue Financial is located at 170 Court Street. That's downtown Charleston, across from the Town Center Mall. Their phone number, 304-746-7977, 746-7977. Closed today?
Yes, we are closed today for Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, yeah, that's right. Closed today, back open tomorrow. So if there's any questions that you have that you're not real comfortable with on the radio, understood, because it is personal information, although you can use an alias if you want to, but you can give John a call at his office starting tomorrow, 304-746-7977, 746-7977. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We have plenty more we're going to talk about on how to hit back against inflation, plus your phone calls. If you want to give us a call this morning, 304-345-5858 is our number, 345-5858. You're listening to Retire Right Radio. I'm Dale Cooper. That's John Burdett from Fourth Avenue Financial on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston.
Greer Industries is a proud supporter of the West Virginia Scholar Program and West Virginia Wesleyan. For over 100 years, Greer Industries has been providing products that build a solid foundation and pave the way to a bright future. Greer Asphalt Company has three conveniently located asphalt plants in north central West Virginia, where they can produce a superior product with unparalleled customer service, all WVDOH approved. To learn more, visit GreerIndustries.com or call 304-296-2549.
Save big with local pizza favorites, Pepperoni Grill. They're back as this week's 50-50 Friday. We all love Pepperoni Grill's pizza, pasta, and wings, and now you can enjoy their pulled pork and ribs hot off the smoker with all the fixins. You also have to try their delicious new Cuban sandwich or their tasty West Virginia hot dogs. Located in Kanawha City. Friday at 9 a.m., go to WCHSnetwork.com and click the 50-50 Friday button to get 50% off gift certificates for Pepperoni Grill and others courtesy of the WCHS Family of Networks.
Going back to school as a working adult doesn't mean you have to sacrifice a high-quality education. Purdue University, a top 10 public university, took its innovative thinking to a new level when it created Purdue University Global for working adults. Discover innovative, practical ways to earn your degree online and advance your career. Purdue Global has already awarded more than 1 million credits for prior learning, which means you can save nearly half the cost of your bachelor's. See how close you are to finishing your degree at purdueglobal.edu. That's purdueglobal.edu.
This is Retire Right Radio with John Burdett from Fourth Avenue Financial. Taking your calls at 304-345-5858 or texts on 304-935-5008.
You're listening to Retire Right Radio, 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. I'm Dale Cooper. That's John Burdett from Fourth Avenue Financial in studio with him this morning. Give a call, 304-345-5858, 304-345-5858. Some tips on how to beat inflation this morning, or how to push back against it. There's no beating it, but you can push back a little bit against inflation, especially when you're planning for your retirement and your retirement portfolio. You can give us a call this morning if you have any questions about yours, 304-345-5858, 345-5858. We've talked about investing into stocks more, doing some research into I-bonds and tips. And now we talk about this a lot, but you just cannot specify how important this is. And that's to make sure that your portfolio is properly diversified. Right. I mean, don't put all your eggs in one basket is a saying forever for a reason, right?
No doubt about it. And we've talked about this time and time again. We were talking about it last year about how if you leave your portfolio alone over time where growth has outperformed value, your portfolio has grown into a portfolio highly concentrated in big tech companies.
Right.
And what's happened this year? Tech companies are at the bottom of the heap.
Not so great.
More value-oriented companies certainly they haven't escaped the downturn, but they weathered it much, much better. Because of some of the factors we talked about before, you know, those are the companies that have plant and equipment paid for with yesterday's dollars. Those are the companies that have earnings today. If you have earnings today, you're going to be able to deal with, and a viable product today, you're going to be able to deal with inflation and be able to pass some of those costs along. You have a dividend in hand. You know, you have all of these things in those value companies that you don't always get in a growth company. Right now is not a great time to have to raise capital, for instance. You know, if you're a growth company that's maybe not profitable yet, you've got a good idea, there's a good path forward, but maybe you don't earn money for 5 years. Well, this is not the type of environment people are willing to put their money out.
Heard the VC market has changed, like just in the last 12 months, has completely changed dramatically.
Especially because money used to be pretty well free to borrow.
Right.
And now there's a cost being, calculated into that with the interest rising. You know, it's easy to give somebody money for 5 years when there's no cost to it.
True.
So the environment is changing, and you're seeing some of these shifts that are happening while the market is down in general. I mean, there are some areas and some shifts happening for a reason, and it's not just because, the market is somewhat logical in the things that are going on, even though fear could creep in and kind of exacerbate the situation. I mean, we're certainly in a position of adjustment in some of these areas. So diversity is the key. That's how your portfolio stays resilient. And I'm not talking abandoning all growth stocks or buying all value stocks, you know, but you have to make sure over time as these trends play out that you stay in balance so that when the reckoning or a change comes, you're not all hanging out there in one area.
Just briefly for folks that are listening, when you talk about a value stock, what is a value stock and how does that differ from the other?
Well, I mean,
a growth stock.
I don't know the classical definition
of
that.
Yeah, in your opinion, right.
But certainly a value stock, you know, you think of something that is mature, well-defined company with a well-defined product and market, generally is going to pay a dividend, creates cash from their operations. Growth companies tend to be companies, like you say, that are developing oftentimes new products and services, have a lot of promise.
A little more speculative.
But not necessarily earnings in hand today. And it still requires capital to put those companies and those ideas into fruition. And like I say, when money is cheap and when optimism is high, people are willing to do that much, much more than an environment like today.
A boutique stationary bike with fancy social media aspects and stuff seems really attractive at one point of this entry point of this narrative, not so attractive at the exit point of this narrative.
Especially when at the time that really crystallized was the time that we were all forced to stay home.
Right.
So there are all these factors.
Growth looked great at that point.
Well, growth looked great in particularly a company like that, but the narrative's changed.
Right.
You know, we don't have to stay home anymore. We can go to the gym. And there's so many companies like that while company by company, some companies' earnings never had earnings. Some companies maybe made some earnings, but can they repeat those earnings
mm-hmm.
in this environment? You know, all of those things have been, put to the test during this kind of transition where and the reopening. All of these things are coming together at one time. You know, unprecedented things, really. I hate to use that word because, people say, well, it's unprecedented. Well, the last time we did things that were unprecedented, too, but the time before that, it's just the way things are.
Right, right. Sometimes it's an escape hatch just to say something is unprecedented, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, we did pass out an awful lot of money, you know, and when you think what causes inflation, you've got a lot of money chasing goods and services. Well, not only did we pass out a lot of money, we told people to stay home for a year, not producing as many goods and services.
Right.
So you have it on both ends. So we've got all these supply chain problems. You have all of these things that still are being worked out, and you've got piles of money out there chasing fewer goods and services. You know, that's the recipe for inflation, no doubt.
And it seems to be that's and definitely what happened. Examining some of the steps that you can take to push back against inflation, we've talked a little bit about investing more in stocks. Don't fly away from our most tried and true ideas on creating wealth. I mean, investing in the market is definitely where it's been, and fleeing from that is not really, you know, you taking your losses and getting out is not the answer to how to reincorporate. There. Do your research about I-bonds and TIPS. We talked about that, expanding the diversity of your portfolio. Also, re-examining your spending. Of all the things that are out there that you have 100% agency over, there's some costs that are baked in that you have to do. You have to pay your mortgage or rent or whatever, for example. But there's a lot of things that are discretionary spending or somewhat discretionary that we do that we could really take a look at. And it may not push back against inflation, but it certainly would push back against our expenses.
Yes, and collectively it can actually push back against inflation.
How does that work?
If folks were to, you know, what causes inflation? All of us out there chasing goods and services, there's a psychology to it as well. In that if you think prices are going to be higher tomorrow, you're going to buy today. And if everybody has that same thought process, what happens? You squeeze the supply chain.
Right.
Just like right now, you go to the gas station and you see folks filling up like 15 tanks of gas to put in the back of their truck in addition to filling their truck up.
Thinking that the price is going to go up.
Well, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy if people continue to do that.
Right.
Just controlling your spending habits.
There's an Always Sunny in Philadelphia plot about about gas siphoning like that, like trying to make money off gas.
Maybe those folks just have tractors to fill up or something, but I'm guessing that they're trying to get ahead of, for the most part, trying to get ahead of inflation, and it becomes self-fulfilling. So certainly, I think the bigger impact, you know, I always believe in all financial planning that we have much more control of our situation than most people think we do.
Mm-hmm.
It falls from action. Our actions, our outcome is largely a function of our actions and how we control things. And the same is true whether it's high inflation or low inflation. You know, focus on what you're spending your money on, the income that you earn. Always live on less than you make. Just do that. That's the number one step of becoming self-sufficient financially. Live on less than you make. And in an environment like this, that same rule applies.
Hmm.
Just be very, very aware of how you're spending your money. Do you need to spend that money? Are you paying subscriptions that you no longer use? Where in your budget can you cut so that you can maintain the savings rate that you had pre-inflation? You know, hopefully over time, your wages have gone up a little bit too, so inflation hasn't 100% impacted you and your budget. But if there are, you try to make some cuts so you can maintain that savings rate. That savings rate is what builds wealth for the future. And if you allow that to be eroded, you'll pay a price for that 15, 20, 30 years from now when retirement comes around.
Well, what great insights from John Burdett from 4th Avenue Financial, 304-345-5858. I just started thinking when you kind of corrected me there for a minute about being a steward of your finances can help with inflation some. And I was thinking, well, you know, one of the big big tech stories that's been going around is how Netflix has come through the pandemic a little softer than how they went into it. More competition, and people aren't signing up with the service, not keeping with it. They crack down on their password sharing, so they're losing some accounts. One of the things that they're doing to kind of strengthen their position in losing subscribers is they've come out with a cheaper tier. Now, in exchange for that cheaper tier, you have to watch some commercials or whatever, but they're going to come out with a cheaper tier. In a way, you can see that as being a reaction to the market of people not paying full price for their services. So because of that mass action, we're actually going to get a cheaper way to watch Netflix in the future because a lot of people started leaving the service. So I can see how on a macro level, more people taking more agency with their finances could lead to businesses having to make decision to keep their customers, which could mean a reduction in prices.
Right. Yeah. People in mass have a big sway over what happens out there.
That's it's all important. It's all tied in together, and it's amazing whenever we do these shows just how each one of these pulses really just lead into another one. It's all a chain of effects on how it affects not only nationally on the economy and worldwide, but also individually into our own pocketbooks. It's amazing how all of that works. Another solution that you can do, so you re-examine your expenses, you cut out everything that you can, you try to do the best you can as far as that goes. Another thing you can look into is maybe trying to make some additional income. And that's something that in this day and age of the gig economy and different things like that, there's potential out there to make an extra few hundred dollars a week or something like that.
Absolutely. Like I say, the name of the game here is you want to always think of yourself in control of the situation. And this is one way to take control of that situation. Make sure that, yes, there are rising prices. I've controlled my budget, and now I'm adding money to the income side so I can maintain that savings rate. I mean, that is going to be key to your financial future. You can't build wealth unless you can create savings.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
And this is one way to do that. And there are a myriad of ways that didn't exist 20 years ago to earn money. I'm surprised, you know, all the online gigs you can do if you're
there's tons of them.
I mean, there's all kinds of things.
Cottage kitchens you can make money doing these days. Uber drivers and stuff like that. Of course. Right. I don't know what the cost benefit of that anymore is. I'm not so sure. But
yeah, I'm
there's
not
tons
sure.
Of
my
stuff
my
out
son
there.
Was doing some DoorDash and he hasn't done it lately. I don't know if gas prices have played into
that.
Yeah,
that's what I wonder too.
I'm not sure how those prices have adjusted to that. But certainly there are options that folks have that did not exist even a handful of years ago to earn some money on the sidelines, to keep that budget intact, and to keep what you're spending out of current earnings and not off of credit cards and things of that nature. That in this interest rate and rising interest rate environment, those are the places you're going to feel that too if you're carrying credit card debt.
Yeah, that's very true. And of course, most people do, or at least a lot of people do, carry that credit card debt. And that's something that's just going to be exasperated as people are trying to make ends meet and you end up running more up on your credit cards. You have to pay off more. I mean, the debt spiral that you can see out of starting to tap into credit instead of income in situations like that could be devastating 3 or 4 years or even 12 months down the line.
Yes, because the free money is over.
Yeah, right. That's not coming back anytime soon. That's not coming back.
And that being said, if you're looking at your family, debts, and you're trying to figure out what to pay off, you know, if you have one of those mortgages that's been locked in at 3% for the next 15 or 30 years, I wouldn't be in a real hurry to pay that.
You might want
to
leave that one alone, right? Yeah, that might be okay.
But
right.
If you have consumer debt, credit card debt, things that are on adjustable rates, those rates will be going up.
Yeah.
You know, focus on getting those things knocked out. Because you will pay a higher price by carrying that debt in the future. Don't worry so much about that mortgage if it's 3% locked in very low, but any other debt really attack.
Yeah, anything that's applied against an index of some kind means that you're going to see your rates going up significantly. So that's
yes.
Consumer credit cards and things like that. Be very careful with those, that's for
yes.
Sure. You're listening to Ask the Expert. This is RetireRate Radio on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. Just about a minute left, so I want to make sure to get all of John's information out there. You can find all the information we talked about today on our social medias. You can go to John, which is 4th Avenue Financial on Facebook, and you can like that page, find the information there. 4thAvenueFinancial.com is his website. You can also check out 580 WCHS on Twitter and on Facebook, and you can find the article Pushing Back Against Inflation shared on there this morning as well. You can find out more about 4th Avenue Financial online. It's 4thAvenueFinancial.com. That's 4thAvenueFinancial.com, and the same search string on Facebook. You spell out the whole thing, 4th Avenue Financial, located 170 Court Street, downtown Charleston. That is right across from the Town Center Mall next to National Travel at 304-746-7977. The phone number, 304-746-7977, to get a hold of John Burdett at 4th Avenue Financial. John, thank you so much for your time again today.
I appreciate it. Yeah, hope everybody enjoys the day off if you get one.